Monogamish contains content intended for mature audiences. The views expressed here are for entertainment purposes only. Please enjoy the show.
Hi, Ishes! Welcome back to the show.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Justina.
And I'm Kanji.
And we're monogamish.
Today, we have a repeat guest.
We do.
My girl.
From the first season of our show.
Oh, yeah.
When we were small and in a little basement and just, you know, before we got to move to our big studio on the 16th Street Mall.
I know. I love your studio. Oh. This is so amazing. It's a glow up.
It's like my wife threw up in here, huh?
My signature color is bling, I've decided.
Oh, there you go.
So it's anything mine. Shiny.
This is bling or leather. Today, you get to see the leather. There's a little bit of bling on my lips. So.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I love it.
So we wanted to invite back Tori, because I have to tell you, Tori, out of all of our episodes, like, I had people that reached out to me and were like, I was in tears by the time I finished Aww. The first episode with Tori, and females that said, like, she empowered me so much and she changed. Like, we had some
we
of the
goosebumps
I know.
Now. Thank
Girl, you better stop. Serious,
no,
though.
But serious.
Because when we talk, you're always like, you know, positive stuff, mm-hmm. positive, putting
oh, yeah.
it out, putting
oh, yeah.
it out, and karma.
Oh,
and
yes.
it always comes back to you.
Right.
And you empower women so much.
Right.
Oh,
and so
man.
You're, the last time you were here, you really told us about, you know, how you got into the lifestyle and mm-hmm. how you started doing what you do. And we had such a positive response. It touched so many people. And it was, like I said, it was probably one of our single most liked episodes in terms of feedback that I got personally.
I'm
like,
very honored.
Messages of how much you have changed people's lives. So I wanted to let you know that. And we definitely wanted to bring you back out here for this update.
Well, I'm very honored and privileged. So thank you.
Because I know you got so much more stuff going on, girl.
So much has happened.
We've got so much to explore. So where do you want to start? So catching up from last time.
Yeah. So where we left off, I had a primary partner. I was polyamorous. Mm-hmm. I had identified that I was more polyamorous than swinger. But, mm-hmm. you know, it all falls under ethical non-monogamy. And that's the lifestyle I chose. And I was very deliberate and I curated my life. You know, it was
right.
called a curated life.
That's
episode
right,
15.
Exactly.
And how I had used my past experiences to my advantage and to be able to be as open about it and empowered about it. Like, I didn't want
right.
to hide. I wanted to be able to openly live my life and not feel as though I had to segment myself or kind of cut off aspects of myself, because that's what got me into trouble in the first place,
right,
is that
right?
I'd cut off aspects of my sexuality and so on, and I did not want to do that. I wanted to be all of me 100% of the time, no matter what.
Open all the time.
All yes. the time.
And you are, girl. I love it.
And I saw how it empowered my own children to be able to be themselves and to live as openly as possible in their own lives. And so,
and it was a struggle. I mean, I remember you opening up to us about your ex and
mm-hmm.
and all
oh, yeah.
of the shit that you went through, and it was a real struggle for you to be able to live the life that you want to live.
Yes.
And you had a lot of obstacles and people that were trying to, and mm-hmm. it sounds like that oh. continued
in a different way, but yes,
people that have tried to stand in the way of you being
you,
the polyamorous cougar that you are.
Yes. So I had entered into a triad, a throuple situation.
Okay.
And so I was the third in a couple.
Okay.
So we were very close and very bonded, and we were together for about 18 months. So after that episode, I had phased out my primary. I'd gone into the throuple dynamic, and I absolutely loved that.
Was it the first time that you'd been in the throuple?
Yes.
Okay.
As far as a very cohesive dynamic.
Okay.
And so for my 50th birthday,
uh-huh.
I treated myself to a trip to Europe, because I had never gone overseas. I uh-huh. had always wanted, like, my whole life, I wasn't, you know, former military wife. I mm-hmm. thought I'd see the world somehow mm-hmm. in the 26 years
right.
that I was, you know, dedicated to that marriage. And I never left stateside. So I had this aspect of myself that was like, okay, what is not being fed?
Mm-hmm.
And so the travel was very, very important to me. So I broke up with my primary and I bought a one-way ticket to Europe.
Oh,
and
my
where did you start?
So I started in London. And here's the thing. There was no plan, and that was the point.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to have no plan. I wanted the freedom to move about the world as I saw fit.
I fucking love it.
Just like in your life.
Yes, exactly. So
oh
it's it kind
gosh.
Of it was a continuation of what I set out to do to begin with. So as a gift to myself, now I knew that I also had, because we talked about in the last episode, a lot of the trauma that I had carried. And,
yes.
And, you know, I'm a life coach. I know how to, you know, dig deeper and to unpack a lot of that stuff. But I had taken it as far as I could. And so I put it out to the universe. I was like, okay, universe, I have taken it as far as I can. I need some help. And I literally the next day saw a live stream of a woman who specialized in trauma release. And she was holding,
like Reiki type?
No. It was it's a lot of things, but she had done this live stream, and what happened was she had one slot left. The retreat was starting the next week.
Oh wow.
And it was in Italy.
Oh. So I grew up in Italy.
Yes.
You know, I love Naples. My heart is still there. The Amalfi Coast is hands down mm-hmm. my favorite place in the world. Mm-hmm. Like if you could live in Amalfi year round full time and we could do this there, I would totally do that. Mm-hmm. Traveling is in our blood, and I've taken him there. We spent a couple months in Europe, and you couldn't have picked a better place to do a retreat like that.
Exactly. So it was a week-long retreat. So I knew I did have one destination that, you know, that I had to be at a certain time, a certain place. So there was that one aspect of this trip. And it fell in the same month that I was turning 50. And I was like, well, let's make it into an adventure, you know?
Oh,
so
yeah.
I knew I had to be, you know, a certain time, certain place. And so literally the next day I had wired the money for the retreat. I bought my one-way ticket and I figured I'd just figure it out as I go. So I flew into London. I went to Glasgow. Then I went ahead and flew into Rome. Then I went up to Perugia, where the retreat was for a week. And I had the most amazing transformational experience there.
Oh, my gosh.
And I woke up on the last day of the retreat, and I was like, well, now where do I want to go?
So can I ask, like, what did – was it more of a talking, like, through the trauma?
Well, there's that. Actually have been a student or have studied at great length Carl Jung about the shadow self. And I was actually coaching that. And I wanted to have someone who was very well versed in the shadow aspects of ourselves, the subconscious. Mm-hmm. And I wanted someone to facilitate it beyond what I already knew.
Gotcha.
And because I you know, time was with the essence. You know,
right.
I was just like, look, I can sit here and try to go through the process myself, or I can have somebody facilitate. So that's what she specialized in. So So it was a small group of about 12 people, and it was a week long.
I'm sorry, men and women?
Men and women, yes.
Oh,
I was so
God.
Proud of the men, because, you know, they don't want to get into their feelings, especially the deep, dark stuff, you know.
And especially in front of people they don't know.
Right. And so I knew I had to get rid of some anger. I had some anger, resentment and so on, and I didn't want to carry that. I didn't want to be a man hater. Like in the last episode, I was like, look, I wanted to have faith in men again, you know, so I knew that I wanted to do something that was going to be healthy for me. So I went and I did this, and it was a leap of faith. And, you know, the last day of the retreat, they're like, okay, everybody, we're going to the train station. So I literally walked into the train station, looked up at the board and went, where do I want to go?
Oh, that is awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
And I decided to go back to Rome because I wanted to eat more gelato. And look at the fine Italian men. Oh, my gosh. People
say in their skin-tight pants.
Freaking A. Oh my God.
But isn't Rome amazing?
So,
God.
Well, here's the thing.
I love
they are so gentlemanly. Mm-hmm. Like when I was traveling, they would offer to, you know, to get my luggage for me and to, you know, take it on and off the train with no expectation of return. Here in America, there's some sort of leeriness that mm-hmm. goes on with it, or like entitlement.
Right.
And they were just absolute gentlemen. And so I was like, I want to go back to Rome, and I want to see more of the ruins, and I want to explore. So I went to Rome. I went to Zagarolo. I went, I stayed in Zagarolo for a little while just to kind of decompress, just to really let that whole trauma release thing just saturate in me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in no rush to get anywhere or do anything. And I learned how to make cheese, and I ate pasta. Like, I ate and drank so well that whole time.
Oh my gosh.
Walking tours, you know, medieval castles, and, you know, I'm a nerd. So I wanted to learn the history. And I was just like, Loving it.
We're right
loving
there
it,
with you.
Loving
oh,
it.
God, we did the same thing when we went there. Oh, my gosh.
And then one day I woke up and I was like, oh, God, I'm craving French pastries. Let's go to Paris. So I booked a flight that day and I went to Paris.
Oh,
you know?
Nice.
So,
oh, my God. So the Eiffel Tower is amazing.
I know. Oh, get this.
Did it light
oh,
up
Kenji,
at night? Oh, my God.
You are not going to believe what I did. This is how the universe lines everything up for me.
I got to hear this.
I went. I wasn't even looking at the calendar as far as the moon phases or anything like that. I was just literally just kind of in my own little bubble. And I went late afternoon. And so I got my ticket and I, you know, was taking the elevator to the top just as the sun was setting. So I got to see it in the daytime. Mm-hmm. I arrived, you know, at the bottom at the daytime.
Oh,
I was going up just as the sun was going down. And so I am overlooking. I'm getting goosebumps again. Oh, so
yes,
beautiful.
Yes.
I was going up just as the sun was going down. So I got to see the sunset over Paris. But the really cool thing, it gets better.
Oh, God. I love it.
The full moon was coming up at the same time.
You got to
and it
see
was the big
this.
Moon. Like, you know how it comes up over the horizon and it's enlarged and it's
right.
like that optical illusion?
Right.
It was this massive full moon. And I was standing at the top of the Eiffel Tower when that happened. And I just felt so embraced by the universe. Like,
isn't it,
I was
like,
just like, you are where you are supposed to be right now.
Yes.
I couldn't have timed it.
Yes.
Like,
me too. Oh, my God.
Honestly,
oh
when I
God.
Seen it, we were on a boat.
We took the river
so
boat.
We had already gone up the Eiffel Tower and done all that. And then at night, when it starts to twinkle.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it did that too. So I got to see that too.
I know. That was my favorite part. I didn't even know that it did that, honestly. So we're on this river boat. And I turn and I look, and there's the Eiffel Tower right in front of us, and it's twinkling. And I just remember tears streaming yes. down my face because it is a magical experience.
I did a live yes. stream in front of the twinkling lights on Facebook. I did a live stream. I said, you guys, you have no idea what it feels like to be here
right
now. And I had to share this moment with you. Like, seriously,
and like you
I
say,
had to share this.
And like you say, and it is at that moment in time, you yep. know the universe led you to that point.
Because
right
if
there.
I had been 15 minutes later or 15 mm-hmm. minutes, you know, like
right?
even if by 15 minutes would have changed
everything.
Element. I literally everything. Walked off that elevator, stepped out onto the platform, and I went, holy shit.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Gorgeous.
Oh, my God. And I just took as many pictures as I could, and I did videos and live streams and stuff. But it was just, it was wonderful. I did have a misadventure. Now, here's the thing. I was, the train system in Europe is magnificent.
Oh,
like,
it's right?
amazing.
It's like
right?
I could have gone to Berlin. I could have gone anywhere. Like, I could have gone anywhere. And so I told myself I'm not going to live in fear in this whole, you know, in this whole adventure. Because, yes, as a solo woman traveler overseas, I mean, that's very daunting.
Oh, my gosh.
Most people would never even do something like that. Well, then most people would never, like, be in Europe a week after finding out about a retreat either. So,
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. so I was very determined. So if I missed a train, I knew I could get back. I mean, no big
right.
deal. Like, I wasn't going to stress on this trip. So I had gotten on the train to go to Paris for my flight out to get back to the States. I was like, you know, I've been here a month. It's time to go back. And so I bought my ticket to get back to the U.S. And lo and behold, I missed the damn train.
Oh,
and
shit.
So I missed my flight by 15 minutes. But here's the thing. This is the universe conspiring
right?
for me, right? Because
right?
really, there was like a greater good. That was
right?
right?
I ended up going through Barcelona. So
yes! It's one of our favorite places in the
yeah.
world. Oh, my God. We went into Europe there. Oh, my God.
That's where we started our trip.
So I was like, thanks, universe, because I really wanted to go to Spain, too. So it was a continuation. It was like, nope, you're not ready to leave Europe yet. You've got to go to Barcelona.
Oh
so
God.
I went to Barcelona.
How amazing is that place
well? I mean,
people.
It was kind of an oh, shit moment. But at the same time, I was like, you know what? After everything was said and done, it was awesome.
Oh.
So, yes, I was actually detained coming back into the U.S., because of the whole thing with my ex and like the whole thing.
No.
Yes.
What?
Homeland Security like
yes.
detained me.
Yes.
I was like, great. I can leave the country, but I can't get back,
back in.
So
oh,
how long
shit.
Did they detain you for?
Well, it was maybe an extra hour,
oh,
but
okay.
it was.
So
I mean, it
deal.
Wasn't like I was, you know, arrested or anything.
Right.
It was not like that, but. they picked me out and they were like, ma'am, you need to come with us. I was like, oh, great. So I did learn that, you know, I can get into Europe easier than I can get into the U.S.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm definitely going to go back and I'm going to stay longer the next time. Now, I mean, not having a plan. I mean, I didn't have reservations. I didn't have like
it was great.
It was wonderful because not having somebody with me. Even though most people go, oh, but I would be lonely. No, I was not lonely at all. I was having a blast. I had an Italian man feed me gelato in the middle of Rome. And I was making very inappropriate noises in the process. And it drew a crowd. Like, it was just the most amazing experience. Like, if I had had somebody with me, I'd have to say, well, what do you feel like eating today? Where do you want to go? And it was all about me.
Yep. You got to do what
I got to do what I wanted to do. So, and I ate when I wanted to eat. And I slept when I wanted to sleep. And I did what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. And there you go. And that told me that's how I wanted to carry my life forward beyond. When I got back to the States, I was like, oh, wait, what's stopping me from being able to sleep when I want to sleep and eat when I want to eat and fuck when I want to fuck? And, you know, like literally, I want to be able to be indulgent and then shed the stigma that comes with putting yourself first or to do things that are, quote, indulgent. I hate using that word because it's not indulgent. It's just self-care.
Right.
It's honest to God self-care. Exactly.
That's the way that we've always lived our life, honestly. Mm-hmm. And people think, like, how – people will say to us outright, I want to live your life. Like, how do you guys live like that? Mm-hmm. We do what we want to do. We get up when we want to. Now, don't get me wrong. There was a lot of groundwork, which you did before, to be able to get to that point where you could even afford the plane ticket.
Correct.
That's where we were. There was a lot of groundwork to be able – people think that, you know – I'm blessed
woke up like this.
And we woke up like this. And no, my family didn't come for money. I'm not a trust fund baby.
Right.
Like I didn't, we're both self-made.
I started with, you know, a suitcase and a few bins of business files. Like I literally was like, yeah, we're going to make this happen.
Right.
And so.
Self-determination.
Yeah. When I came back, I was refreshed, revived, renewed, and I had a whole new perspective on what I wanted to do moving forward. Wow. One of the things that I had chosen to do, back when I was 16, I was a professional swimwear model.
Oh.
And I missed modeling. I'm quite the exhibitionist, you know, like I'll do runway work, I'll do studio work, I missed that. So I had, again, put it out to the universe. I was like, I really want to do this thing. And I was at a swinger party where I had run into a couple that I had seen and chatted with multiple times. They were absolutely fantastic people. And he had said, you know, you're a life coach. I'm really struggling right now. And here's what the issue is. And I feel like I don't have time for my art. I'm a photographer and I'm not doing the thing. And I'm literally sitting there going, okay, universe, 3 days ago, I was talking about how I wanted to find a reputable photographer. And here you are. You're like delivering this person saying, I need this outlet. And I was like, okay, here's the deal. You do need to express yourself through your art. That's cutting off an aspect of yourself if you're not. And no wonder you are so tangled up, you know? And so I took some of the tools that I learned in Italy and I kind of shared that with him. And so he wouldn't have to transfer, you know, travel to Italy just to learn it, you know? And so I said, here's an outlet. I would love to just do a test photo shoot. See, you know, brush up on my skills. You can get back in the swing of things with your skills. So we did this photo shoot and it was fantastic.
Oh my gosh.
So part of what I was doing before is, you know, I would get photos, but I wouldn't have like a professional photographer doing the photos. Mm-hmm. And I was sharing these photos and I would put them like on FetLife or Cassidy or whatever.
And they were amazing photos.
Thank
even
you.
Back then.
Yeah.
Like before, I remember all of your photos and I remember going, God, and asking you like, who's your photographer? And you were like, me.
Me. Because I had the modeling background. I understand posing. I understand lighting. I understand all of these aspects. I just didn't want to be a photographer. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be in front of the camera, not behind it.
Right.
So I started sharing the photos and then there was a request for more photos and more photos and more photos. Oh, I was like, oh, jeez. Okay, well, I can make money off of this. I can monetize this. And I, you know, I've always been an entrepreneur. I didn't get through, you know, a month of Europe without, you know, my life coaching business and stuff because it's not location dependent. I can do that from anywhere in the world as long as I have a signal.
Right.
You're good.
I can, you know, I have all the automation tools. Like people can book with me and it sends them automatic emails. Like everything is
love it.
Work smarter, not harder.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I thought, okay, well, you know, I can create more content and I can start selling it and I can put it up on different websites. And so that's what I started doing. Well, let me tell you, it took off. And I was like, holy crap, there's a market for cougars.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
big market cougars.
They love
especially cougars who are kinky.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm also in the BDSM community.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay, you got to factor that
and
into.
And you got the curly gray hair. I mean,
the
personality.
You got it all, girl.
You have the confidence in yourself and in your body and everything. It's addicting.
Yes. So I had already created like a Facebook page to talk about body positivity, sex positivity. You know, like I'm really about LGBTQIA rights. You know, I really want people to be their full expression of themselves and not feel shame or guilt or anything like that. So because I was modeling and I have stretch marks, I've had 3 kids. I don't have the hip to waist ratio that these 21-year-olds have, you know, like I have imperfections, but that was the glory of it.
That's right.
And women were like, oh my God, I wish I had your confidence. And I wish that I was able to do what you do. You know, I would love to be able to, I was like, look, the adult industry is every body type. Like there is something for everybody out there. And what a great message to teach these, you know, creators. I don't want to make it gender specific. It is saturated by mostly women, but I do want to preface this. If I say women, I'm not just being gender specific because there's also men with, you know, body positivity issues and so on. So I was like, look, there is something for everyone out there. And I'm proof of it. Like if I'm killing it and I'm getting the bag out there and I'm, you know, gray-haired grandma, for God's sakes, you know, like, yes, I do have striking features and I do have the confidence and I have the kink factor and so on. I wanted to pass that information on because right about then is when COVID was hitting.
Oh, wow.
It was, so I was doing well for myself in this industry. I've always been an entrepreneur and done well for myself. But in this case, I was like, okay, I had friends coming to me going, oh my God, I got to get a side hustle because I just lost my job and I need to feed my kids. And what do I do?
Right.
So I created this small Facebook group, which I thought would be maybe 50 of my friends that were in the social circles, the lifestyle, the kink community. I was like, okay, there's a way that you can, you know, express yourself and make money off of it, just like I'm doing, and here's how to do it. So I was giving these lessons and tutorials, self-guided.
The playbook.
And I love
the playbook.
That. Right. Because you were helping other people grow.
Right. Because also, you also have to understand, you don't just jump into the deep end without knowing that there are risks. Okay. So I'm a protector by nature. I want to make sure that women are not putting themselves into jeopardy. And there are safety issues. There are scammers out there. There are people that will take advantage of you. And I felt like I had this moral and ethical obligation to make sure that they understand what they were getting into before they got into it.
Oh, that is amazing.
I really wanted them to really think it through and take things into consideration because I am uniquely positioned. I don't have a boss to please. I don't have, you know, I don't have to hide it from anybody, but there are people.
That.
I know, right? Right?
Not having any bosses.
Right? Right.
Thank
you. But doing your own thing and living your style.
But I wanted them to be safe.
Right.
I wanted them to be safe. And so I started teaching them the how to click here, do this, do that, you know, the technical aspects of it. But I also was teaching the safety issues, how to spot a scammer, how to hold boundaries. But it was also mindset. So it became not just this step one, step two, step three. It was, okay, here's what you need to know about confidence and holding boundaries and having standards and how to price. And, you know, and so I started adding these lessons as questions came up and I thought it was just going to be a small little group. It is now over 6,000 people I've mentored in this group.
Wow.
Yeah. I've taught them for free.
Congratulations.
For free. It was my way of
giving back.
And I do private coaching where I do make money on private coaching. And so people can ask me one-on-one questions and have, you know, one-on-one time with me. So I do that as well. But the group in and of itself was meant as my give back.
Right.
And to know that because they were – The OnlyFans site was just getting deluged with new creators.
Oh, I know.
It's weird because I've heard both. There were some creators that I feel like fell into, I guess, kind of a depression when COVID hit, mm-hmm. and they mm-hmm. stopped creating content. They stopped right. doing it altogether. And then there's others that were like, I had no choice, mm-hmm. and I needed to make money. I lost my job, or I lost my, you know, way of living, and mm-hmm.
It exploded.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and it exploded for them.
Well, what happened was the market did get saturated with all the new people, mm-hmm. and the established creators, some of them, you know, just had too much competition. To me, I don't see the adult industry as competitive, because there's nobody that looks like me, talks like me, acts right. like me, does the things I do, doesn't
You're
have
the only you.
The oral
yep.
skills I have, you know, like,
right.
you know, like, I'm like, there is no competition unless I have a twin that can do exactly mirror everything I do. Mm-hmm. That would be the only way I would, quote, have competition. So my mind doesn't even go into competition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think that a lot of people did drop out because they were like, oh, what's the use? There's, you know, 1,000 people signing up every day, you know, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So they got discouraged. I can see where that would happen, especially with COVID.
Right.
That was a very isolating mm-hmm. situation.
Oh, God,
and
scary.
A lot of us, in fact, even with me, I had to go to solo content. Like, I couldn't film content with partners because of COVID, the, you know, the quarantine.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And going back to the whole throuple thing, we ended up quarantining together under the same household. We were
oh,
all.
Oh, whoa.
So there was 2 months of actual dedicated.
Oh, wow.
You know, time together. And my youngest son was living with me at the time. And, you know, he had seen me move in and out of our own home space mm-hmm. to go to these parties and stuff, but he'd never witnessed it play out in front of his very eyes other than that. So he had these questions about, okay, what does the life, are they taking good care of my mom? Are they treating her well? Are they,
right.
you know, is she at risk? You know, like he's, mm-hmm. you know, he's, he was 19 at the time and he was just like, you know, he had questions, but he also trusts me, you know,
right.
he just saw his mom go to Europe and come back alive, you know?
Yeah.
So, so the thing is so I what ended up happening was is we had made a collective choice. We all had to quarantine because we were all equally exposed. We were helping somebody move who tested positive for COVID literally the first week of COVID.
Shut up.
It was the first week of COVID, and I was like,
son of a bitch.
Well, I didn't get COVID.
Thank God.
But we had to quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, we didn't know how long we'd have to quarantine. We didn't know what that would mean. We didn't know if somebody was going to pop up positive and they're gonna die in 3 days, you know.
Everything
like
was so much
was
up
so
in the air.
So many unknowns at that time. Mm-hmm. So we said, all right, let's all take care of each other under the same household. So we convened in female partner's home because she had a home big enough for that. And I brought my son with me.
Oh,
and
wow.
He got to see how we nurture each other, how we care for each other, how we love each other, how we are interconnected and how we respect each other and all the dynamics. And he was like, oh my God, Mom, I had no idea that it was this good for you.
Oh, that is amazing. The communication, the respect,
everything.
It's a lot of work. I mean, it's a lot of work for just, you know, me and my husband just one, mm-hmm. you know, two. But I don't think it compounds dramatically when mm-hmm. you add a third or a fourth a fifth. Like, everyone, it's not just, you know, mm-hmm. double the work. It compounds because now I have to talk to you. You have to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
He has to talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it does. There's some triangulation in a throuple when you get into the foursomes and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually did have another mutual partner, but he was in the military. And so we had about 2 months where we didn't see him at all.
Okay.
So we did technically have like a foursome going on,
mm-hmm.
but we were the core. We were the core of it. And
okay.
he was an accessory to that, but mutually involved with all of us.
Got it.
So one thing led to another. And, you know, I took that time to not only show my son what my dynamics are
mm-hmm.
in real life in front of him. You know,
oh,
in
wow.
stereo,
oh,
no less.
Right?
Like,
right?
You know, one time, he's so funny. One time it was like 4 o'clock in the morning and he's texting me, Mom, could you be a little quieter? I'm trying to sleep.
Oh.
You know, like.
Our kids do that.
He goes,
yeah.
I give that orgasm an 8 out of 10, you know. Could you be a little louder next time? You know, sarcasm noted.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my
it's
gosh.
Like, wow, he was really whapping there. You know, so it was, there was some banter going on, you know,
right.
because we had to keep our sanity, for God's sake. So
I love that you have that relationship with your son, though.
Oh,
you know, and he's,
yes.
and he's really open
yes,
and
yes,
communicative
yes.
with you, you know, as far as with that.
I'm
you know?
Very fortunate as an open poly mom. to have children that are, or adult children that are open to my lifestyle. And they have their own markers of this lifestyle in their own right. You know, like they identify as poly. And so
I love it.
Yes. They actually had practiced it like in college before I even came out. Like it was like,
Because the newer generations are so much more open to it, you know?
Yeah.
It's weird though, because I kind of feel like our kids, you know, they always say as teenagers though, they're always going to be the opposite of you. Like they always want the opposite things. And it's like, oh, I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be like my parents, like, for, you know, forget that. And so they're very, I feel like right now, at least our two oldest are very monogamous. And they're very committed and just they're
totally
okay
fine
with our relationship and how it works and the dynamics. But to them, they like the more traditional route, and I'm totally okay with that there too. There's nothing wrong with monogamy.
We just want them to have the option, know, and to know that it's okay and see this dynamic just like your son, and it's okay to see this dynamic.
He did get to see not just our own individual dynamic, but to see polyamory as a whole, you know, kind of to transfer that into his own life skills, if he so chooses to continue that. He's having a long distance relationship with another male, you know, so like he gets to be all in. He doesn't have to go, oh God, somebody's going to judge me or somebody's going to ostracize me or reject me or, you know, anything like that. So long story short, I did this group. I put my time and energy into it. I had the full support network going on for myself. And I was so fortunate because not everybody did.
Right.
There were people who were losing family members, and it breaks my heart that they, you know, were going through their own traumas and so on. And so I would try to be as supportive to my friends that, you know, were also struggling because they couldn't see their partners. And I felt really, I felt kind of bad. But, you know, it was a decision we made collectively to pull our resources together and to be a cohesive family unit, really.
That's
is what it was.
That's right.
Right.
So there were blessings in disguise in that. So I did, you know, put a lot of time and energy into the group and creating content, which leaned more towards solo or with them.
And I remember from our first episode, you said when I started, like, you created a ton of content before you even started putting it out there.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You had a plan. Mm-hmm. You knew I'm going to do X, Y, Z before I even launch.
Well, things just springboarded from there. When I worked with the original photographer, it caught the eye of another photographer who had mutual friends with me. And, you know, this dude's a big deal. I'm gonna name his name. I'm going to say hi. Hi, G-Mark.
G-Mark
Lewis.
G-Mark.
He is based out of Loveland, Colorado.
Okay.
And his work, he does fine art photography, but he also specializes in kink and fetish and erotica and so on, which is right up my fucking alley, right? And I had seen my friend's pictures, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is genius level lighting. Like,
really?
This is like, oh, my gosh, this is – I wish I could work with this man. And meanwhile, he had seen some of my pictures, and he was equally going, I wish I could work with this model. And so he studied me for a little while. Not in a creepy way. He just paid attention to what my boundaries are, what my personality was. Like, he could tell that I was very strong boundaried, that I didn't take shit from anybody, that, you know. And so he approached me with respect.
As everybody should.
Because my inboxes as an adult content creator are the Wild West, okay? It's disrespectful and title. We'll get into that another time.
Oh, God.
But he approached me very professionally, very respectfully, and the moment I saw that he had approached me, I went, holy shit, thanks, universe. And so we did a photo shoot together, and this is just right before COVID. So we got a couple photo shoots in before COVID hit, and then he had to close the studio down and so on. So I went back to amateur content creation, and then the first day that his studio could open, he had me in there.
Wow.
I was the model that he brought
what?
In. Because
That's
we
awesome.
Have so much fun. We work together beautifully. Like, we understand each other. We, like, I watch the wheels spin in that man's genius head, and I feel so privileged to see genius unleashed, you know?
Right.
And he truly does unleash genius,
beautiful.
You know? And so we became fast friends, and, you know, we were just, and I and I learn quickly. That's the other thing. He was mm-hmm. like, you are a really,
you're on it.
Like, no, the model, the other models come in, they don't even pay attention to that, but you know exactly where to stand, how to pose, how to do the lines. And I'm looking over his shoulder when he's doing edits. He doesn't use Photoshop or like make you look different than what you are, which is one of the reasons
why I
had to work with him, because he does leave the cellulite dimples on your thighs.
It.
And that's the messaging that I'm trying to get across. I don't want somebody to Photoshop me and narrow my waistline and, you know, get the wrinkles out from underneath my eyes if I'm dehydrated that day. Like, I really want to show up real.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he shows the realness of people, and he captures the essence of people. And it literally, sometimes I would see his pictures and I would get tears in my eyes because I was so moved by what he was doing for that woman.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And, you know, and he does, you know, all genders, but I just saw how he empowered women just through his art.
I love it.
And I was like, I just feel like I've really got to work with this man. And so one thing has led to another, and we're like best buds now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Actually, we've done, I think we're up to like over 30,000 photos now together.
Wow.
I was 2 weeks ago, I had 5 days straight. We call his studio The Lab. He's the unicorn herder at The Lab. So, you know, we just have this really great dynamic. And I sometimes will go up just to help with edits, because his business took off, obviously, when my stuff started going out.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were like, oh my God, I got to work with him too. And how do I book with him? And so I've kind of been an unofficial assistant for him. Like, you know, I send people his way, and I'll sometimes go in when there's a new model who's very nervous that wants to do maybe a kink shoot. They're in the BDSM thing, but they're not models and they don't know what to do. He will have me come in just to be kind of like an ambassador on what to do and how to do it, so they're comfortable, so feel good, and that they feel, you know, because I'm really good with empowering people.
And people feel so comfy.
Yes, and so they will come in, and sometimes they'll even say, can Tori do the shoot with me? Will, you know, so like I've been kind of like a featured model. I'm also a test model because I'm very patient. I can hold poses forever. So he gets this idea in his head. A lighting idea that's never been done before. Like, this is like never been done before. And he'll dream it, or he'll be inspired, and he'll go, I got to do this thing. So he'll message me and go, can you come in on Thursday? Because I want to test this out. So I'm like a test model, and he'll perfect it before he releases it to those that are, you know, so I'm like a test model for him too. So we have done some pretty cool shit.
My God.
That is awesome.
I know. I want to see these pictures so bad.
I've seen your amateur work, which mm-hmm. I was blown away by.
Oh, thank you.
And so to think, you know, to hear you praise him like this and his genius, I can't even imagine those pictures.
Your photos go into another level.
Right.
Oh, also, my gosh.
And here's another thing. In the adult industry, I talked about, you know, the risks and so on. Mm-hmm. Well, there's risks with photographers too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And again, not gender specific, but I do call them GWCs, guys with cameras. The creepers. They want to get you naked and take your photo. And I could do that all day.
Right.
Okay. I literally, if I entertained every photographer that approached me, but you have to know what you're looking for. You have to you have to see the portfolio and so on.
Fit with your brand.
Correct. And G Mark is not one of those photographers. He is very, very, very respectful. Like, he is like my safe person. Mm-hmm. I know that when people come in, they also verbalize and say how comfortable they feel with him. They feel like that space that's very safe for them too. Yeah. So that's why I don't hesitate to send people his way.
That is amazing.
I don't hesitate to send people. Now, I work with other photographers. Trust me. Mm-hmm. He's not the only one. I work with many photographers, but they have to have a really good reputation. Mm-hmm. And so, long story short, G Mark has amplified my career. I've amplified his. It's mm-hmm. been a cross collaboration. I've worked with other photographers similarly. I am brought in to do, you know, they have a new lighting idea similar to what G Mark does. Like, they're always trying to improve their art or their skill. So they'll bring me in as like a test model for this idea that they have. So it's kind of had this ripple effect. You know, I do regular shoots. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just test shoots and so on that I do. I have a shoot day after tomorrow, as a matter of fact. Like, one of the shoots I recently did was to help facilitate a friend of mine who wanted to get into BDSM in a dominant position. And she had never stepped into that space before, never had somebody. And she approached me. She said, look, I know what you know what you're doing. I trust you. I know I've learned so much from you. So I basically educated her on everything she needed to know before she even picked up a flogger.
Wow.
You know, and okay. So because I love to educate, like I have my own podcast now and stuff, like, you know, like I'm a kink educator and fetish and adult content educator. So it all kind of expanded. And so I was guiding her on the kink aspect and the BDSM and the power exchanges and energy exchanges that all go with that. Mm-hmm. But she really desperately needed that. And so she had done some photo shoots with G-Mark just, you know, for promotional purposes and so on, because we're both burlesque. We'll get to burlesque here in a minute.
Okay.
And so I told her, I said, look, let's go into the studio and let's just play around and see what we can do. And because that's a safe space for me too. And so I was the submissive, because in the BDSM world, I'm what's called a switch.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
The last time I was here, I was more submissive, but I've evolved.
Okay.
And and the switch is basically I can transfer between being dominant or submissive. Mm-hmm. And I can also, you know, be the masochist, but I can also be sadist too.
You got it all.
I can shift between. Yeah. So this is why I like couples, because in the kink community, I'm the creamy center of the filling of that couple, like, because you have to hold, if you're a switch in a threesome where I'm being dommed but I'm domming the sub. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So I'm the switchy part. I'm holding space as a switch and as a sub. Wow. I'm being submissive to the ultimate dom, but I'm also domming the ultimate submissive. So I'm like this.
Yes.
So this is a really good dynamic for me. I'm just saying.
I love it.
This is the whole multitasking thing.
So most of your content that you are creating goes up onto your OnlyFans?
Yes. Although a lot of my content, you can't even go on OnlyFans because it's forbidden there too. Oh. So we did this photo shoot with my friend.
What's forbidden on OnlyFans?
Oh, I can tell. It's a lot of things.
Really?
Yeah. What? It's actually very, in adult content, in the adult content world, it's more vanilla than most people think.
What?
Yeah. So we did this photo shoot, and she and I did 90 straight minutes of impact play.
Wow.
We used the flogger, because this was like training for her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But we captured it on camera.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
So we used the flogger. We used the riding crop. We used a cane, dragon tail. We used all the tools, like, and we lost track of time, because when you're in subspace, there, you know, I was in full on subspace. Mm-hmm. I was just, whoa. So we did this photo shoot, and the series is on my OnlyFans. It was with my friend Kitty.
Okay.
And she's also on OnlyFans, but it was very empowering for her to be able to do this and to document it and to step into that space fully and completely and safely.
How did she do?
Oh, my gosh. She did amazing. And here's the thing. She tore my ass up. Like, 2 days later, I'm so proud of it. Because, like, in the BDSM world, a lot of us are very proud of our marks.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And bruises or bite marks or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. Like,
your kink.
We're like, ooh. But see, the week before, we had gone to an after party after a burlesque show, which I'll get to the burlesque here in a second. And I was dancing on top of the bar at Gasoline Alley in downtown Colorado Springs, just having a blast, you know. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And one of my troop members, bless her heart, has an act using a whip. And bless her is very fucking good with that whip.
My
trust
gosh.
Me. Very precise. Very, very precise.
Oh,
and
my God.
So we're on top of the bar, and there's a video on my OnlyFans. By the way, this video exists of me on top of the bar, having my ass whipped by Blesser very precisely. And I don't flinch.
Oh, wow.
And that's what it blows Blesser's mind. Like, you don't even flinch. And I was like, yes, but this is about power and control.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the more still I am, the more precise you can be.
That's
and the
right.
better the outcome's going to be for the both of us.
Right.
You know, like, I take this stuff very seriously.
Yeah,
so,
you do.
So it was like this public ass whipping going on, and so I had these marks already on my ass
did
this photo shoot. So I had like layers of BDSM marks on me at this point, and then I had to do another shoot 2 days later, and I was bruised, and it was just, but I loved it.
badge
it
of honor.
It was like, it was a badge of honor. I was like, oh, how often does somebody have a full-on impact play scene of, you know, 90 minutes in my case, continuous. And I mean, we use clothespins and taught her how to, you know, tap, tap, flap, you know, to mm-hmm. get the clothespins off that are precisely placed. And,
oh,
you know,
my God.
And like, and I had told her, because we negotiated the whole scene beforehand, so that you always negotiate
yes,
scenes
that was just
in BDSM.
Say that. Yes.
I do, when, you know.
The negotiation part of it still blows my mind. Like, it is so detailed.
Oh, yeah.
Business.
And you
very
talk
detailed.
About every single thing, what mm-hmm. you're okay with, what you're not. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, it's not. It's beyond safe words. It's right. It's a negotiation of everything. And I told her, at one point, I'm going to get bratty. And it's going to be on purpose because I want to see how she reacts. Mm-hmm. This is this is like training for her.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And so she knows that there's going to be this thing. So towards the end, I'm in my subspace, and I'm literally my wrists are handcuffed. I'm in what's called a spanking bench.
Yep. Okay. Oh, yeah.
And I'm actually, there's a bar over my back to hold me in this bench. My ankles are in a spreader bar mm-hmm. that's, you know, pinned down. Like, I'm full on. I am immobilized.
Shit.
Right.
And she had the cane, and she was walking around me, kind of circling me, you know. Uh-huh. And as she walked by, the only thing left to my use was my mouth. And of course, I'm very mm-hmm. my mouth, it's like my mm-hmm. most valuable asset and your worst
right
fear.
Like, I'm so right there with you because I'm such a sub in bed, and he knows, like,
there's
I'll go, is that all you got?
Yeah,
or and, you know, I'll edge him or mm-hmm. pick him on you mm-hmm. pick on him. And
no, I physically use my mouth. I'm very oral.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
I'm very good.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. She
my only
fans
both
is way. Proof. She's uh-huh. both way. Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
So I had just enough give to lunge forward and snatch that cane right out of her hand with my mouth. And I held onto it like a pit bull, and I wasn't letting go. And she said, and I apologize, you know I cuss, so if you have to bleep
no,
this out.
You're
she,
fine.
Better stop.
She said, "You little shit," and grabbed me by my hair and sat on me until I calmed down. But I gave her a run for her money.
Oh, yeah.
But she needed to have that
power, that
the brattiness, the bratty right. element to, and she did beautifully. I was I still get goosebumps. I'm so proud of her. She did such a
oh
great
job. Oh my God! Awesome. Shout out to Kitty.
So yes, but it was awesome. It was like everything about it from start to finish. And then there's the aftercare part, and I got to teach her about the aftercare and all of that stuff.
Because that wraps up. You have that. Mm-hmm. You have to have that
and,
as well.
And you know, and of course, I in subspace, you don't want to drive. You don't. You know, it's not safe to.
Right. Mm-mm.
And mm-mm. so you know, she did everything perfectly. And we drove to that thruple that I told you about, her house. You know, because I'm still connected to each of them. We just we kind of dissolved,
okay,
you know, so
we
dissolved as a throuple, but you know, I have full endorsement of him and her to see each other, and
okay,
you know, like we're, and everything's very civil, in fact, you know, very friendly, but at the same time, we just weren't what we were before. So we mm-hmm. went to her, that other partner's house, and you know, and so it was a really great experience. But you know, a lot of the content that I do really pushes the envelope. It mm-hmm. does exceed what OnlyFans will allow.
Okay.
So there is elements of my content that has to be done, basically selling it privately or what have you to those that have highly specialized fetishes. For instance, I did an octopus shoot recently.
Oh, shit. Okay, the tentacles. Okay.
So another backstory to this is I have an irrational fear to octopus. It happened. I was 7 years old. It was October 23rd, 1976. I saw an episode of Space 1999. And it had the space alien that ate, like, just annihilated the whole space crew and so on. And it was like, now it's like B acting. Like, you'd laugh at it. But as a 7 year old, I was traumatized by this octopus looking space alien. And it always just creeped me out after that. Then when I started learning about how smart they are and how they can pick locks and they remember faces and hold grudges and
right.
like they're very, very,
they
very, 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 very smart.
Yeah, they are fucking alpha.
I was equally fascinated and terrified. So mm-hmm. It's been a running joke in my family for years and years and years about the fact that I have this fear of octopus. And so we would go to a restaurant and my kids would order calamari and go, "Now look, Mom," and they'd chew on it, you know.
Those
I was like,
shits.
Wow.
Those little shits.
Right? But it just creeped me out. So I had told G Mark this because G Mark loves octopus. He has an octopus rug in his lab. And I came in one time and I told him, I said, you know, I'm afraid of octopus, right? And he was like, well, I kind of like them. And, you know, it's just become a thing. And so I had gone to the lab and this new octopus rug was there and I stepped around it. Oh. Like, I wouldn't even step on this octopus rug. Like, I was like, no. A year later, I'm doing a shoot with octopus because I don't want something to rule me. I don't want fear to rule me. It's like, okay, so
yeah,
I'm not going to let this fear rule my life. So it started with me just rolling around on that rug. And so there's lots of photo sets on OnlyFans where you're going to see me with the octopus rug or you know, it was like this gradual, like incremental thing of incorporating octopus into this whole thing. So he joked and said, well, we should do a photo shoot with an octopus someday, because he had like photographed himself with an octopus on his head one time.
Oh my god.
And I was
that
just like
way more
but and
way,
I was like,
oh
right.
My gosh.
And I was like, because he's bald and you know, and it just, he wore it like a hat, you know, and I was just like, oh my god, that just freaks me out. So he joked about it and I said, you know, if I get to that point, then I know I've made it to letting go of my fears.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. One thing led to another, and one day he had a cancellation. He goes, I just found out that they have fresh caught octopus at the grocery store. They're already, you know, harvested, you know. So it wasn't a live octopus. And he said, and I just had tentacles shipped in. They're already cooked, but the other octopus is raw. Could you come up for a shoot? Would you be willing to do that? And I was like, holy shit. We're going into hentai now.
You're like facing your fear like head on.
Yeah. So, okay, this is some hentai going on.
This
right?
isn't a rug on the floor anymore.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, no.
So we started with the cooked tentacles.
Oh wow.
And I, you know, I first had to be okay with touching it. And so finally I said, okay, G Mark, I call him G. It's like, gee, here's how we're going to do this. This is the negotiation of the scene, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said, here's how we're going to do this. This whole octopus, this raw octopus, I said, I'm going to keep my eyes closed and I'm going to focus on my breathing and you're going to place it on my body and you're going to pose, you know, tell me how to pose and you're going to tell me which direction we're going with this. And if I'm not comfortable, he knows. If I'm not comfortable, mm-hmm. something, I'll say something. Like, mm-hmm. he never pushes, ever. Beyond your comfort level. So I'm very good at communicating that with him or anybody else. Like I'm right. very
oh,
good
yeah.
at, you know, communicating where my threshold is. And I said, and this is how we're going to do it. And that's what we did. And so when he first put it on me, I was like, oh. And he's like, are you okay? He's checking in. I was like, yeah, actually, it's cold and it smells weird, but let's go. Let's do this, you know? So by the time we were done this whole photo set, there was octopus inserted in so many different places.
Oh.
It was draped on my body. It was worn around my shoulders. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm kind of famous for my ass. There was like an octopus, you know, just chilling out on my ass and, you know, stuff like that. Like, you know, it was a fun shoot. But his little thing at the end, what he did, because he's a bit of a sadist, you know,
he's
a lot of times, some of the photo shoots that we've done, he's dommed me in order, you know, to do so he's, again, somebody that's very safe, and he doesn't do that with just anybody, like, we have this very good dynamic.
Right.
So anyway, it was draped around my shoulders, and I'm completely naked, and I've got my hair up, I'm holding my hair up so it doesn't touch the octopus, I'm like,
mm-hmm.
And so my eyes are still closed, and I was like, okay, G-Mark, go ahead and take it off of me, and he slowly pulled it off of my skin. As I'm squealing, going, oh God, I'm going to kill you. Like, he just drew it out just to get my reaction. And, of course, by then I was done. And I jumped up off the table naked, smelling like, like marine land, I was like, I've been swimming with the dolphins, right? And I jump up and down. And I was like, I did it. I fucking did it. I'm so proud of myself.
Yes.
And he was just so happy for me that I had gone through this whole thing. So,
oh God,
but
and
see,
especially
I
with
can't
him.
Put those pictures on OnlyFans. That's
my
point. Like, because you're not allowed to insert things that are not sexually related. So,
oh my God! So
you can't use vegetables. You have to use actual sex toys or anatomy.
So if you would
have, fisting is not allowed. I had to take down my fisting content. Like you can put four fingers in, but not five.
Really?
Yeah.
What
so
kind of
like
weird ass shit?
But you don't know until after you've broken the rule what the rule is. So I did get as somebody who is leading the industry, I did get a hold of what's the full list, and I have right. pushed that in the group. You can't do anything that's like outdoors. So like the Shibari shoot that I did yesterday up in Divide, Colorado, was an outdoor shoot, but I'm wearing a full bodysuit. Mm-hmm. Like right. I'm covered, you know, basically head to toe, but it's clingy to my body, and I'm roped up in a tree.
Right.
Yeah.
That, but if I had nudity outside, that would be forbidden because you're bypassing people's consent.
Oh, wow.
If you're doing nudity outdoors, it could be in your backyard, but if your neighbor sees it, then you've basically bypassed their consent to agree to seeing you nude.
So
that
where do you put this type of content on your website?
There's places.
Ah. Yeah.
Yeah, there's places. It's not something I necessarily want to broadcast. That's a private conversation simply because I have haters who will do things to sabotage me or to actually cause me harm, which we'll get into.
Oh, my God.
So one of the things that happened at the end of last year for me was I had gone to my first burlesque show. I have friends that were in the burlesque world that are also in the lifestyle. And so I went to support them and...
We love supporting burlesque.
I love burlesque.
So
yes.
I fell in love with it, and I signed up to become a burlesque performer the next week. I joined Burlesque Academy. I was formally trained as a burlesque performer through the Peaks and Pasties Academy.
Oh, wow.
And I belonged, now I've graduated, and I now belong to the largest super troupe in the nation, Peaks and Pasties. Thank you.
Congratulations.
And so, you know, on my adult content, my brand is Polly Cougar, P-O-L-Y for polyamorous, P-O-L-Y Cougar. And that's my brand, and that's how you find me on all social media. But then I am Hori Tori. As a burlesque performer, and there's a little story about that on how I got that name.
We're gonna get to that one later.
Yeah. Yes. So,
how do you love it?
I love it so much. I am so busy with photo shoots. Like I had 18 photo shoots last month. I've got a photo shoot day after tomorrow. I had a photo shoot yesterday with another, you know, with a rigger, you know, doing actual suspension, you know, and
yes.
Oh my gosh, I love my life. I love my life. And what I've done. Coming back from Europe, I said, I want to eat when I want to eat. I want to sleep when I want to sleep. I want to go travel when I want to travel. And how do I continue curating that in my life? What's the continuation? So doing adult content was a natural segue into it. And then going into the kink fetish and so on, because I'm already doing that, creating that content.
Right.
Continuing my life and business coaching. I've mentored over 6,000 OnlyFans creators in this last year during COVID.
That is out of this world.
It has brought me to the point now where the only thing I have to do is just create content on my time as my energy allows. If I don't feel like doing it, I don't do it. If I want to do it, I do it. I work with multiple photographers, but I also had the pleasure of being recruited. I was sought out by a studio. And I got an opportunity to do professional porn. So I've now gone into the pro porn industry. So I now work with two studios. I just recently signed up with a studio out of New York City. So I am now a Chazzy's Angel. So that's kind of new, but I've worked with Wicked Walter Studios and I'm open to work with other studios. I've enjoyed it. This is not something that I was desperate to do. And there's no shame in that either.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
some, you know,
yeah.
People have to feed their families and so on. For me, it's like the natural way to go. I'm already doing it amateur, like to go to the porn, you know, industry at the pro level is amazing.
Right.
I mean, it's harder to do than you think. Most people think it's easy to get into porn. It's not.
Oh, no.
It is
not. No.
So for me, it was quite the privilege to have, you know, them reach out to me through some mutual people saying, hey, we want to work with you. And I've done multiple, you know, filmings and so on. So
how many films have you done so far?
Well, two have been released so far. So in the porn industry, you might film for a couple of days, but those videos won't come out for 6 to 8 months. Right now there's quite a few scenes. I did 2 days of shooting a few months back, and one was just released this last week, but I haven't released it. It will be, but there's going to be a lot more coming up. Then with Chazzy's Angels, I'm going to be doing some cross collaborations with that because I have a friend in the porn industry. She just went to a show with me a couple weekends ago. Her name's Lily Craven. Shout out to Lily.
Shout out to her.
She and I have worked together in some films, but like, I love this. This is and again, my adult children know this is what mom does.
Right.
And they're like, holy shit, my mom's a porn star. Holy, you know, like, wow.
You're one of the fucking coolest moms I know.
And I'm a grandma. Now, there's only one aspect of my life that I keep separated. My granddaughter does not know and will never know unless she's old enough to understand and understand my reasons behind it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that is because she's
an art for you.
It is how I express myself.
Yeah.
It's completely an art.
Burlesque has been yet another outlet that I have thoroughly enjoyed. So at the end of this month, I'll be performing at Club Q for the Naughty Nooner Brunch. It starts at 12:00 in Club Q in Colorado Springs. Our burlesque troupe, fearless leader Bunny B, just bought a nightclub. She's turning it into a cabaret. So we're going to have multiple stages. We even have like a dance cage.
And this is in Colorado Springs.
So it's called Le Burlesque. And so I was in there helping, you know, like it's not open yet. We're very close to opening. We're going to do the soft opening and then the grand opening. But like I was in there painting and cleaning and just helping to get it done. But there's multiple stages there. And we're going to have multiple shows. Like, we're going to have more stage time. So, here's a really cool thing. I recruited my daughter into burlesque. She graduates June 25th and 26th are the two shows for this next graduating class. But she's the next generation of burlesque. She is Smitten Vixen. Is her stage name.
It.
I'm so proud of her. She's the mother of my grandchild. I am so super proud of her. And to be able, like, we get to practice together. We get to bling out our costumes together. We get to, like,
empower each other.
You are empowering her.
I empower her, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
She also came out of a damaging relationship. Mm-hmm. And so one thing has led to another. And she's like, I am so glad that I'm doing this. And thank you so much. Because she's very empowered. And so now she has, like, this whole tribe of, we call ourselves the glitter family. This is the glitter life, you know.
Glitter.
Like, there's glitter everywhere. There's literally, I posted a picture on Facebook the other day about the glitter in my car. It's perpetually in my car.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, you can.
Oh, yeah. You can do whatever you want, and it's showing up six months later.
Kenji loves, he has a saying, always follow the glitter, and it'll lead to a good time.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I love it. It's so true.
So if you took a Venn diagram of Tori's life, you've got the BDSM, the kink, the fetish, you know, aspect of myself. You've got the ethical non-monogamy, which also has the polyamorous and the swinger aspects, mm-hmm. one more than the other. Then you've got my burlesque and, you know, my adult content creation, like everything in the middle. I profit off of my pleasure.
Right.
Right.
Everything.
In you've made this your career
way mm-hmm. possible. I profit off my pleasure. And
then
I
sprinkle glitter on top of it all.
Yes. And so I've been very fortunate to have good relationships, good supportive networks, a good people within the lifestyle. You guys are part of that. Thank you. Like,
absolutely.
I
love running into you at the ranch and, you know, it's like,
everywhere. Oh my God. I know.
So, yes, I'm busy, but it's the most fun I've ever had.
Right.
And the fact that I get to make money while I'm sleeping at night, and then I wake up and I get to have orgasms that I make more money off of. It's really, are you kidding?
Oh,
you live such a hard life.
You love it.
And sometimes I don't get to sleep till 6 in the morning because I don't.
Guess
like
what?
Everybody says, oh, you got to go to bed at 10, you got to get 8. No, I just sleep when I want to sleep, and I wake up when I want to wake up. And, you know, if I have the energy to do a scene that day, I do the scene. If I want to book something, I book something. If I don't want to book something, I tell them, no, I'll book with you next month. You know, so like I pick and choose everything I do in my life. Today, one of the collaborators that I did recently did a tandem blowjob photo shoot at G-Mark Studio. I work with really hot people. Can I just say that? I work with, and you know, and so, and they're my friends, you know, it's not just random strangers. These people are special to me and important to me. And maybe they are new to me, but you know, they've had to earn my trust in some way, shape or form, even in the porn side of things. Okay. And in fact, I trust working with porn stars more than I do navigating the dating scene.
Well, because they know your role.
It's highly regulated. Oh, yes. We get tested like weekly. Like we, you know, there's a lot of regulation there. So I'm safe. I want to make sure other people are safe, whether it be in BDSM or the adult content industry or whatever the case may be. So I just share parts of my life, and people come to me all the time, both inside my household and outside my household, that say, thank you. Yep. And I don't do it for ego. I literally just feel like I help people unleash themselves.
That's the whole
You are helping the universe. Yep. You are helping the universe.
And like my friend Kitty, she's now able to. And we're going to, she's in burlesque. And so we're going to do a routine, a duet. And she's going to lead me out on a leash onto the stage. You know,
she's going to be the dom.
She's awesome. Going to be the dom in the actual routine. Burlesque. So there's so much crossover in my life, right. You know. So I feel like I'm living my best life.
And you truly are.
And you are.
Now.
Hell yeah.
We love that the fact, A, like I said, you've empowered so many women that have heard your first episode alone on our show.
I'm sure you empowered men too.
Men too. I know. I love how vocal you are about what you're okay with and what you're not okay with, mm-hmm. especially on social media.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I am strong boundaries.
Yes.
Very strong boundaries. It's called managing expectations.
Right.
A lot of these guys feel entitled to your body, and that they devalue you because you're in porn or whatever, that you don't respect your body. Well, right. It's actually quite the opposite. And,
right.
You know, it's like, because I respect my body this much to take this, you know, this type of care of it and so on.
And you demand respect from them.
Correct. And there's no negotiation. Like I tell people, if you're going to send me an unsolicited dick pic, here's mm-hmm. the thing. You can show me your dick over on OnlyFans all day long, but you're going to tip me.
That's
and appropriately thank me for my time, energy, resources, and attention.
Right.
Okay. So I don't have an aversion to getting dick pics. In fact, I would love if you sent me a video of how I got you off. And my subscribers do that. Like, I want to see it. But they also include a tip.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Pay me.
It's like walking into a strip club.
Respect
it's like you
me.
Walk into a strip club, you pay the door fee, but then you don't, you know, you've got it.
You don't stop paying,
right,
you know,
exactly.
at the door.
Same idea. Okay. But on social media, what they do is they'll send an unsolicited dick pic, and I'll tell them, I don't accept them here.
No.
And you're going to get blocked if you send it. You've been warned.
Right.
Go over to my OnlyFans. You can send it to me all day long there, but they want to try to get attention mm-hmm. for free. And to me, I don't even try to convert them. I just block them. I do that on Snapchat, IG, like anywhere.
Good for you.
Okay. The thing is if they can't respect in the most basic form,
right.
A woman, I don't want to work with them. I don't even want them to be my subscriber.
Thank you.
And I have loyal, dedicated, respectful subscribers as a result. So people do have the ability to go into the adult industry and demand respect.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's kind of the dom part of me, you know, like the switchy side of me. It's like, I do have standards. I do have requirements. You're going to approach me respectfully. Here's the thing. I'm not a hard ass.
Right.
At all.
No.
But boundaries. Nothing is sustainable without boundaries. Women are taught to be loose in their boundaries. And that's what gets them into trouble because they're like, they compromise themselves. They compromise their safety because they want to be, I can make you comfortable. And you know, No.
Stop it.
Right.
I teach people how to hold boundaries, how to manage expectations, et cetera, et cetera. So I teach a lot of this to people who don't have the confidence to say the word no.
God, I fucking love you.
So
it took, like we've mm-hmm. talked about it on the show before, it took me a long time to learn that. Mm-hmm. Even after we were in the lifestyle, I was the type of person that I didn't want to hurt people's feelings.
You learn
really quickly that mm-hmm. it's so much simpler mm-hmm. to just say no. Mm-hmm. When you don't want it, it's okay. And people need to be accepting of the word no, too. It needs to be reciprocated, like, okay.
You are responsible for saying what you will or won't do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're not responsible for people freaking out about it.
Right. Exactly.
How they react is not your business and not your responsibility.
That's right.
And no is a complete sentence.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. You don't have to say anything else.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Right.
That's and so, and a lot of people, because they have this preconceived idea that me being polyamorous and being a porn star and so on, that means I just sleep with anybody.
Right.
Do you know how fucking hard it is to get into my wheelhouse?
Get the hell out of it. Right. It's not like you just
fuck
everybody.
So if you see me on social media, you picture with somebody, they really, really showed the fuck up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They really did.
Right.
And they have gained my trust and so on. So You know, a lot of people just approach me like, hey, baby, you know, it's like, okay, go to my OnlyFans. Like, you know, you're thirsty, dude. Nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. I'm obviously there for that. Okay. Because the other thing is there's a lot of stigma about being a porn star. I'm actually helping marriages in a lot of ways because some people have erectile dysfunction. Some people have broken marriages and they want to get the spice back in, mm-hmm. you know, like, I don't look at it as something where I am destroying things because I've been cheated on. I know my ex, you know, spent a whole lot of money on porn, and I was mad because he wasn't watching it with me.
Right.
You know,
like, I remember you saying that.
Yes,
in the first
I was like,
one.
Yeah. If he had just watched it with me, hell, I'd make it with him. If
right.
you know,
I
if he only
that.
Knew, you know. So the thing here is that I go into it for healthy reasons. Mm-hmm. I don't do it to be a threat to society. I'm here to actually empower society right. and to improve things and to amplify things in a better direction. So my goals, being a porn star or being in the lifestyle or being in BDSM, kink, whatever, is to educate people and help them steer them into the directions they want to go in a healthy way.
That's exactly
so that's
why
here.
We're here. Yeah. That's exactly yeah. why. It fits perfectly with our mission, and that's why we love having you on the show because you know, this shouldn't be something. This is your body.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose what to do with
mm-hmm.
it, and you love what you do, and
oh, yeah.
and it shows, and it radiates from you in your pictures. It radiates from you when you talk. Like, you love what you do, and you're truly in it. Your heart is in it.
Yes.
And that is what it is mm-hmm. for us. I mean, when mm-hmm. we started this, it was specifically a hobby. I'm not looking to, you know, become a millionaire off of a podcast. No, mm-hmm. I'm looking to help people understand that there are alternate relationships, that there's so many ways to love and spread
mm-hmm.
that love and show that love for themselves,
yes.
for their partners,
mm-hmm.
for their relationships, whether it's, you know, a poly relationship
mm-hmm.
or
a swinger
relationship
mm-hmm. whatever.
Or any of that. And I just love how you've helped so many people grow.
I appreciate that. And thank you for saying mm-hmm. it. And thank you to those that have, you know, stepped forward with kind compliments. Mm-hmm. I know that there's also, you know, a segment of people that aren't going to agree with it.
Right.
And they have,
mm-hmm.
you know, they have criticism. And I'm okay with that, too.
But guess what?
Just
like you said earlier,
yeah.
that's not your problem.
Right.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, the thing is, we have haters, too.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
they pop out of the woodworks, and it's a lot of times, let me tell you what it boils down to, is jealousy.
Exactly.
100%. When they
yep.
come out of the
mm-hmm.
woodwork and they're, oh my God, I can't believe that you're doing this for a living. Well, no, you don't know how hard I worked before this. You
mm-hmm.
don't know my other businesses.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know anything about that. So
mm-hmm.
keep your mouth shut about it because you're just jealous.
That you can't live
lives. When people see me living out loud, mm-hmm. One of two things happen. They're either inspired or they're offended.
It's
right.
one or the other.
Because if they're inspired, they feel like there's hope for them too.
Right.
If they are offended, it's because of jealousy, because of their own shadow selves.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, we can go down that rabbit hole. And so I do have my fair share of haters. In fact, I'll tell you the story about how I got my stage name of Whorey Tori because of a hater here in a minute. But the thing is I'm not here to please people. I am here to please myself and to empower people. And I will continue to do it. And nobody is going to stop me.
That's
you know what? In
right.
a weird way, I love the haters.
I do.
It fuels my fire.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, you really have a problem with that? Watch what I'm going to do next.
I call it let your haters be your motivators. And
exactly.
I do talk to the content creators, like those that I've mentored. I say, this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do not let it destroy your confidence.
No.
In fact, if anything, it builds my confidence.
Builds my confidence.
The more the harder they come after me, the more motivated I am, the more confident I become.
Right.
And I always land on my feet. And I am the queen of comebacks and clapbacks.
Hell yeah.
So the haters.
I'm right there with you. And I have the king sitting
yes.
next to me.
So the thing is I've got plenty of stories about how people tried to bring me down and I ended up better off
right?
yes.
than when I started because of it.
And to me, it's like, oh, you're that upset that you had to take that much time out of your day
mm-hmm.
to
mm-hmm.
express this and to, you know, make this. Almost they get fixated. The haters get fixated.
I
on
have
trying
a very dedicated hater who has hated me consistently on the daily. We'll talk about her
yeah.
in a little bit. But
yeah,
the thing
we have
is,
a couple.
Yeah. So the thing is, look, if you have somebody who has criticized you for your lifestyle choices, for your decisions in your life on how to parent in the lifestyle, or okay, or somebody like me that's in the adult content industry, you know, you're going to have people who are going to be disrespectful. You're going to have people that are going to resent you and judge you, and you know, holy crap, you know, the Bible thumpers are fun. You know, like all of this stuff, you know.
That was one of our first haters, huh?
Oh my gosh. You know, they're a lot of fun. But the thing is it's literally no bearing on my life.
Nope.
Yep.
I'm living mine. You go live yours. And if I haven't inspired you, then scroll on by.
Right. Please. Please okay. Do. Exactly. Just keep it walking.
And quite frankly, if you want to be dedicated to the hate, I'm going to have comebacks and clapbacks all the time.
Right.
So keep doing it. Fine. Guess what? It's amusement for me. And it's free advertising.
Oh, 100%.
The more you hate on me, the more you comment with a hate, it bumps my algorithms. Literally.
That's what our producer says.
Yes.
It's true.
Yes.
Every reaction, every comment, like I went viral on TikTok. I've gone viral on TikTok multiple times. Multiple times. Because I talk about spicy things I sell on the internet, because you can't really talk about adult things on TikTok, right? Right? Mm-hmm. So I talk about the spicy things I sell on the internet, like my panties or socks, or, you know, I cater to the fetish community. Mm-hmm. And I was teaching people how to do that or where to go to do that. I even got a sponsor as a result of this TikTok. I've had over 400,000 views on a few of my TikToks. And so, you know, I've been able to go viral on social media many times. But what happens is there's people that comment that help make them go viral, whether it's good or bad. It's a comment.
Right.
I don't hide that
stuff. Keep the comments coming.
Keep the comments coming.
Especially at 4 o'clock in the morning when you feel like you're just,
you
know, have nothing better to do.
Yeah, so end up on drugs.
Every time somebody wants to criticize me, they're helping me.
Right.
You just got to flip the switch on
it. Right.
It just makes me more confident. It's like, right. Great, thank you. Thanks for
that.
The free advertising.
I love that. Because, you know, we knew when we started this, we were going to get pushback from a lot of people. And we didn't let it deter us for one day.
I don't know.
You just push through it. Mm-hmm. And they're going to get over it, or they're not. But I don't care.
Right.
And we're going to keep moving on.
They are not paying my bills.
Nope.
That's right.
They are not, you know, feeding me, fucking me, or, you know, any of those things. So literally has no bearing. And even if somebody was feeding me or fucking me, they still have a criteria to meet.
That's right. That's
exactly.
That's right. They're not telling you what the hell to do.
They're here to, you know, serve me. So,
and
I don't say that in a disrespectful way. People who are in my life, it's a mutual exchange. There's, you know, so the partners that I do have are, you know, have really shown up for me. And people who don't want to show up for me, that's fine. That's totally fine. It's not your cup of tea. I'm not going to yuck your yum. I'm not going to shame you for, you know, having different belief systems than me. You, by all means, go live that life, please. And do it to the best of your ability and to the fullest expression that you can.
Right.
It doesn't have to be my path.
Not for everybody. We said it multiple times.
I fucking love my path.
That's fucking right. That is fucking right. Yes.
And there's absolutely no regret. The song, you know, No Regrets. Like, I play that all the time. You know, it's sung in French by Edith Piaf. Thank you. Thank you. Edith Piaf. I should know this, but I play it and I belt it out at the top of my lungs, even though I can't speak French. I try my best. It got me through France with what little I do know. But the thing is if it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no for me.
Right.
So I don't live my life with regret. So when I stepped into porn, I was full in. It wasn't like, oh, should I? It was like, fuck yes, let's do this thing.
Right.
You know? Oh, double blowjob? Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, like, let's do this. Oh, you want to put me on a rotisserie and have one man on each? Let's do this because it's fun for me, you know, like I, you know, and I do the things that most people are taught. Oh, don't do that. In fact, I do the things that even OnlyFans says you shouldn't do. And it's not because I'm desperate. It's because I love to push the envelope. I love to push myself beyond my limits. That's why I went to Europe. That's why I did the octopus shoot. That's why I literally, everything I do in my life is to take myself just a little past, just a little past.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where I get my confidence. That's where I get my empowerment. It's like I put myself just a little bit past my comfort zone. BDSM does that.
Yes, right? It does.
BDSM
yes,
does that.
Burlesque does that even.
Burlesque does that for sure. Mm. Yes. Yeah. And so for me to get up and to perform on stage is such a privilege.
Right.
It's Gosh. Such a privilege. I love to be able to entertain the audience and show other people in the audience. They go, oh, I can do that too.
So it sounds like with burlesque, you're part of an amazing troupe.
I am. I'm very fortunate. My burlesque family, because it is family, mm-hmm. Comes from all walks of life, all shapes and sizes, all genders, all gender identities.
Oh, awesome.
I love the inclusiveness of it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people will go to a show for the first time and they have this preconceived idea that it's, you know, kind of the old burlesque, you know, because burlesque is the art of the tease.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also an expression of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Me as a performer, I do slow burn. I do very sensual type work. Some people do the vintage old school burlesque. Some people do like razor's edge stuff, you know.
And I
like
can my hardly friend, wait to go to your show.
Oh, I know, right?
I would be so honored if you would. And if anybody listening, is out there, go to your local burlesque performance venues. And, you know, if you want to just find out what it's about and maybe try it out for yourself, see if there are burlesque academies or burlesque classes locally. I've been very fortunate to be able to go through the Peaks and Pasties Academy. It's run by Bunny B, who is also the president of the Burlesque Hall of Fame out in Las Vegas. Like, I'm learning from the best, like a legend
best
in
of
and
best.
Of herself.
Best of the best.
We just had three legends fly in from all over the country to do a show with us, and I was involved in that.
So do you list all of your shows on your Polly Cougar website?
Mostly the announcements are on Facebook.
Okay.
PollyCougar.com shows all of my different social media and how to, you know, access my spicy content, as we call it.
Okay.
Facebook is really where I give my most updates.
Okay.
Okay. Because I've been there since like 2007.
Okay.
I'm there as Tori Lisa. So just, you know, go to PollyCougar.com. You'll find me. It won't be hard to find me.
Nice.
But I'm on IG. I'm on Snapchat. I'm on Twitter. I'm on, you know, there is no way if you are just curious enough to go down one rabbit hole that you won't find all the holes that Tori has.
All the holes
that Tori has and how she fills them all. Sometimes at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, like, by all means, if there's an aspect of what I talked about today that intrigues you or interests you, maybe it's not the porn. It's like, hell no, I'm not going down porn. But I do want to know about burlesque. Like, literally, reach out to me. I will tell you, you know, where you need to go, what you need to do. I won't hold your hand or do the work for you, but I will give you ways that you can step into it and do so, like, safely and to know really what you're getting into.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And to me, it's been the most life-changing thing to go into burlesque. It's been life-changing to go into not just amateur porn, but, you know, to work with actual studios and to be able to push the envelope on content the way I do. Oh, my God, that's so much fun. I am a bit of a my Facebook page says I'm 100% provocateur. I am. I like to provoke people. I either provoke them into inspiration or into, you know, like their head implodes and they just can't handle it, you know. So I love to provoke and I love to push the envelope, but I'm also very respectful and very well boundaried, and I will never like bypass other people's consent or be disrespectful.
Right.
Like I exhibit what I require,
mm-hmm.
you know. So if you do go down the PollyCougar.com, you're not going to see my naked ass in front of you. You're going to be able to have access, and you get to pick and choose. If you want to go to FetLife, you're going to see nudity there.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see me in, you know, in the spanking bench, and you're going to see me doing things that are quite
risque.
Oh, beyond risque.
I know.
It's like, yeah. But if you go to Facebook, clearly, you're not going to see that.
Right.
It's not even allowed. So you get to pick and choose which rabbit hole you go down and how many holes you get to see of Tori along the way.
I love it.
Maybe it just might be my mouth on one platform, and it might be, you know. So,
you know, Tori, a part of me wants to say never change, but you're such an evolving – every time we see you, I love how you change.
I know, right?
I love how you
right?
grow. I love that we've watched you. I mean, from the very first time that we met you, we fell in love. And I love how you've grown your content.
Well, I wasn't wearing all leather the last time I was here either. You know?
No, no, you were not.
And I didn't have spikes in my boots and around my neck.
Oh, my God. I know.
We can't thank you enough again for coming.
You.
And we're here to support you. We're here to make you grow, which is what this community is all about. Mm-hmm. And that needs to maintain the focus. You know, bypass the haters. Get over it. Get a life. Mm-hmm. Move on. Because we're here to help you grow. We're here to help everybody that's in this space, whether they're in it for personal reasons, just because they want to explore the other options in their relationships, or they're in it for business reasons like you, where this is your life, but it's also your way of making money.
I was like, holy crap, I could actually profit off of my passion and pleasure.
Right.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
I mean, who wouldn't?
Right.
You know, and so, yes, I'm very fortunate. Like I said, I understand I'm uniquely positioned. Mm-hmm. Not everybody. Some people have careers they'll lose or family that will ostracize
them.
Mm-hmm. I don't even have to worry about any of those things. And I have the richest, fullest, most amazing life. And there's glamour and there's fun and there's like I get to do the most amazing things.
Amen to that.
And it doesn't mean it's easy.
No.
Like you said.
But we
you
are
did
blessed.
We are very blessed. Mm-hmm. And I know the universe keeps rewarding me the more I more of myself
that
and the more
so
I express
right.
myself and the more that I put my own art out into the world mm-hmm. and help other artists get their art out
that's
into the world.
Right.
That's what makes the world go round.
That's right.
Well, thank you again.
Thank you so
much. Thank you, Hori Tori.
Yes.
For
Hori,
coming
yes.
to visit us and giving us an update on the wonderful life that you've built.
Thank you so, mm-hmm. so much. I am very honored to be here. And anytime you need me, just let me know.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So. And Ishes to you, make sure that you check us out online. Definitely visit Tori's website. Again, drop that name.
PollyCougar, PollyCougar.com. PollyCougar.com. And it'll give you all your options on how to find me.
Mm-hmm. And you can find us online, too, at our website mm-hmm. at monogamishpodcast.com. Remember, there's a dash between the M and the I.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love for you to check us out there. That can give you a link tree to all the places that you can find our content as well.
And YouTube, Spotify,
yep.
iTunes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So check us out. And thank you so much again, Ishes, for coming here, for listening, for subscribing, for commenting, for letting us know how you feel. Again, I can't wait for all the people that hear the new update and reach out to us because mm-hmm. we've got the best updates from your mm-hmm. episode. So thank you again for joining us.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll see you next time, Ishes.
Hey. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in.
Bye, haters.
Yeah, bye.